One of the hallmarks of Rav Lichtenstein, and I think a lot of his Talmidim, who absorbed so many of his values, and especially those who had the privilege to spend extensive time studying with him and absorbing some of those core values, was the premium he placed on teaching Torah to your children, not delegating the education of your children to third-party contractors, namely rebbes and teachers and yeshivas. And one of the weeks that he would speak about this is, of course, Parshas Vayigash, because there are two, or at least there's one reference to the Torah-backed relationship between Yaakov and Yosef, and there's at least a reminiscence of another element, or two other elements of that Torah-pivoted relationship. When Yosef tries to convince Yaakov from afar that his long-lost, thought-to-be-dead son is now the viceroy of Egypt, so he sends him wagons, and the Torah records that Yaakov noticed the wagons, Vayaris Avelos Asher Shalach Yosef. And Rashi comments that Yaakov wasn't swayed by the wagons per se, but rather by the Torah that this referenced, that the last sugya that Yaakov and Yosef had studied before Yosef's kidnapping was the sugya of Egel Arufa, according to other opinions, and Tosfos, a sugya about the wagons which the Nesim donated, but at least to take the classic approach, they were studying Egel Arufa, which is ironic, because Egel Arufa details the laws of a dead body found anonymously in a forest, and the local proximate cities have to perform a mini-confessional for not providing a safety coverage that would have prevented this accidental murder. And it reminds us that we have to take responsibility for the safety and precaution of those who come into our orbit and those that we're responsible for, not to expose them to excessive danger or peril. And to a degree, Yaakov failed in that area by dispatching Yosef to inquire about his brothers and sending literally Yosef into the lion's den. But this was the last sugya they were studying, and when Yosef dispatches these wagons to transport Yaakov, Yaakov remembers, Yaakov decodes, Yaakov deciphers these wagons as a reference to the last sugya, and he's literally taken back in time to a more innocent, pure, pre-betrayal stage where he and Yosef enjoyed Torah study together, and Torah study was so deeply embedded in their subconscious that they referenced their experiences based on the Torah they had studied. Some people referenced their past based on the songs that they listened to at that 2 summers ago, or 3 years ago, or 40 years ago, or sports events, or other events which sometimes seep very deeply into people's subconscious. And for Yaakov and Yosef, Torah was so deeply embedded that they could reference their past, and by seeing the Agalos, Yaakov was immediately transported back in time to those moments of innocence. But it does highlight a special relationship between Yosef and his father, built on the study of Torah. And Rav Lichtenstein quoted, of course, Unkelus' interpretation of Yosef's nickname. Yosef was nicknamed Ben Zakunim. And the simple reading is that he was born at an elder stage when Yaakov was already an older man. But Rashi already quotes the Medrash in the name of Rabbi Nechemia that Yaakov had transmitted all the Torah that he himself had studied for 14 years in the yeshiva of Shem Vever. He had transmitted that Torah to Yosef. And as the Ramban explains, he didn't just transmit the Torah, but the wisdom and the secrets of Torah. And he found that Yosef was able to understand the inner depths of Torah. So Yaakov and Yosef really became for Rav Lichtenstein this icon or symbol of a father teaching his son Torah, of the type of Torah that only a father can teach. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah speaks about the importance of teaching your children Torah based on the pasuk of Vishinantam. But that pasuk itself, because the continuation of the pasuk, Vishinantam Levonecha V'dibar Tabam, which serves both as the source for teaching your children Torah as well as studying Torah. If you don't study Torah, you can't teach your children Torah. The continuation of the pasuk makes it sound as if by teaching your child Torah, you're able not just to transmit an academic body of knowledge, but you're able to render it more existential. Because the continuation of the pasuk, You should speak about Torah. You should study it when you travel, when you rise, when you go to sleep, when you awaken. Sounds like Torah is meant to create this enveloping presence and seep into our identity, not just remain an academic system of knowledge. And that's why we study it. It's why we speak about it. It's why we engage in it at different stages and phases of our lives. And part of that ability to render it existential rather than academic is when you teach your child, because the potency is so much greater and the delivery is so much different. And Rav Lichtenstein would often quote his Rebbe, Rav Huttner, who bemoaned a Gemara which appears to award or appears to celebrate a great decision. The Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Chaf Aleph appears to celebrate the work of Yehoshua ben Gamla, who established the first network of educational institutions. Rav Huttner once told Rav Lichtenstein that this was a sad day when the study of Torah was relocated from the home to called impersonal institutions, rather than Torah being transmitted from father to son. And Rav Lichtenstein felt that the transmission of Torah from father to son can accomplish two or three elements that Rebbe-based teaching or yeshiva-based teaching cannot. First of all, as I alluded to before, that by definition, structurally, by teaching Torah outside of the home, there's a dichotomy between Torah and existence and identity. The home is associated with food, with shelter, with comfort, with security. And study becomes an occupation, a secondary layer of identity. It's harder to wed Torah to the baseline of identity when it isn't delivered in the home. It's not just, of course, the structural dichotomy between the home and the school, but also you're able to instruct Torah at an earlier age and in a way that's non-academic, but that's visceral. Second of all, Rav Lichtenstein felt that Torah being studied together between father and son doesn't just improve the quality or the penetrability of the Torah, but also changes the relationship between father and son, and in some way should ideally smooth that relationship, which often can be fraught with tension, but also creates a powerful experience beyond the actual study of Torah. So when Yosef is struggling to withstand the seductive invitation of his master's wife, he glances at the window, as the Gemara in Sota says, and he sees his father's image, and that image braces him against this temptation. So Yaakov has become more than just a Rebbe, he's become a role model for Yosef, and he's become, in many ways, enhanced as a father. The Gemara says in Kiddushin that if you teach your grandchild Torah, but for the purposes of this discussion, your child or your grandchild, it's as if you've delivered it from Har Sinai. So there's a third element. Varon didn't really amplify this, but I think it's latent in the Gemara, that when we teach Torah, we want to try to teach the flow of our transmission, the flow of our Masara. And it's easier for a father because a child feels that transmission and that Masara from a father very powerfully because he shares his genes and his connectivity to the history of Am Yisrael. So Varon spoke extensively, not just on this occasion, and I think I've seen a lot of, again, I don't have a baseline of comparison, but I think this aspect is something that a lot of the Talmidim of Rav Lichtenstein picked up very powerfully, the importance of a father in teaching Torah to his child. I'll quote Rav Aaron Sicha again. This was a Sicha delivered in Hebrew, written after Shabbos, translated into English, so these languages are going to be third level removed, but he gave the Sicha in 1992. So in the middle of the Sicha, Rav Aaron said, "Today, despite the generally accepted educational system, there's great importance attached to parents teaching their children. It is far easier for a parent to instill existential commitment to Torah than for a school to instill it, even if a parent is busy and occupied with many other concerns. And even if he has psychological difficulty teaching his child, still there's nothing more important than this. How can the most important thing that a parent must transmit to his child, his principal task as a parent, be relegated to someone else?" And Rav Aaron concluded with two stories, but he prefaced the sharing of these two stories with the caveat that he doesn't like to share stories. So it's interesting, Rav Aaron was very private, and he wasn't someone that told stories about himself. But here he told us two stories, and I'll just read them straight from the text, just so there shouldn't be any translation or anything lost in the translation. I remember at the age of 8, sitting in my father's lap and finishing learning Parshas Truma. My father went to the kitchen and said to my mother, "Now I know what they do in Gan Eden. They sit and learn Torah with their children." So even a story like that, which happened to Rav Lichtenstein at the age of 8, and hearing his father's joy upon retelling his Torah experience with his son to his wife, created a memorable Torah anger moment for an 8-year-old Rav Lichtenstein. I remember once asking Rav Amital, how can a father really impart the love of Torah to a child? You can impart the skills, but how do you impart the love? And Rav Amital raised his index finger as he would anytime he wanted to wipe away simplistic platitudes. He says, shtiyot, shtiyot, there is really no way to impart love. If they see you love it, then they'll love it. If they see that it's burdensome and onerous and difficult, and you complain about it, then of course they won't love it, even if you perform halacha or study Torah with them. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein picked up the zeal from his father's joy, and I remember my own father telling me that his going to sleep every night above the kitchen where his father, my grandfather, was studying Torah and listening to the strains of Torah coming through the heating vents, because the heating ducts were right above his bedroom was right above the kitchen, so he could hear through the heating ducts. So there's a lot about the joy of Torah and the value of Torah that can be conveyed, and I think parents sometimes underestimate that they're always on display, and in particular, their attitudes towards Torah and their involvement in Torah study. Another incident that Rav Lichtenstein oftentimes shared with us, he writes, or he said, when my sons were in high school in Ativ Meir, which is one of the prestigious high schools in Yerushalayim, I used to go there to learn with them 2 evenings a week. One time I was sitting and learning with one of my sons in the Beit Midrash, and someone approached me and commented how impressed he was that I made the time to come and learn with my son. Now Rav Aaron says, Histakalti alav ki'ilu hu nafal min hayareach. Namely, I looked at him as if this person had fallen off the moon. I responded to him, make time for this? This is my priority. I make time for other things. So that innocent teacher or person in Tiv Meir was shocked that Rav Aaron, who was so busy, would make the time to study with his children. And Rav Aaron was shocked at what could be more important than studying Torah with your children. And I lived through the yeshiva in the 80s, and I routinely saw Rav Lichtenstein studying Torah. Shavuos night, he would go from child to child studying Torah with them in his office, including the girls. And it left a very indelible imprint on me. And I think, as I said before, a lot of the Talmidim Rav Lichtenstein picked up, I think, some of this value that we can't see our Rebbes as the primary agents of our children's education for the reasons I described. A father is the principal Rebbe, and maybe he has more time or less time, but at least to convey the joy and the transmission of Torah is incumbent upon a father, and of course in our day, a mother as well.